So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, it's one of the last books in the New Testament. It's way, way back in the New Testament. It's before you get to the book. It's right after 1 and 2 Peter. So if you get to 1, 2 Peter, keep going just a little bit. You'll find 1 John. And we're going to be in the fourth chapter. And we're just going to look at six verses this morning. All year we've been talking about authentic Christ, who Jesus really is. And we all know that any Jesus outside of what the Bible tells us, that Jesus can't save anybody. Jesus was more than just a good teacher. Jesus was more than a philosopher. Jesus is God. And because he is God, he deserves our worship. He deserves our fellowship. He deserves our allegiance. And so we've been really pounding because we know that in the Christian circles, the fight over who Jesus really is real. In fact, you've seen the billboards. We've posted it around Muncie where it said, Jesus is not God. And thankfully, somebody went up and spray painted the "not" out. Now, I'm not condoning criminal activity, but on this, I would look the other way. So instead of it saying "not God," it says Jesus is God. And so they paid for us a billboard, and I like it. But we know that any Jesus outside of the Word of God is not the true Christ, is not the true God. And what it boils down to, when people rely on anything but Jesus, when people rely upon anything outside the authentic Christ, they're relying on what they called back in the olden days fool's gold. Now, years ago, there was a very contagious disease that spread throughout a lot of the United States, and it was called gold fever. Frank, you may remember those days. Many rushed out west to find their fortune in this beautiful, precious metal. Yet waiting in the shadows was this thing known as iron pyrite, fool's gold. It was given that name because to the eye, it looked exactly like gold. But the miners understood quickly that pyrite had no value. And so they had to have a test to make sure what they were mining was true gold and not the fake stuff. Those tests included weighing gold versus pyrite, because gold weighed heavier than pyrite. Gold was much denser. Gold is much softer than the cheap imitation of pyrite. And so the miners would use a metal point and they would push in. And if the needle sunk into it, they knew we have gold. But if it just stuck, they knew they had fake gold. They had fool's gold. Then there was what is called the streak test. Now, this is not when you take off your clothes and run around. So don't get too excited. But it was the rubbing of each of the stones on an unglazed plate, knowing that gold would leave this beautiful, bright yellow streak, and pyrite would leave an ugly, green, blackish streak. And so the reason why this year is so important is because so many people in our society has placed all their hopes on fool's gold. They're relying on pyrite for their fortune, but there's only one gold. And we have to know that. We have to understand that. The Word of God tells us plainly who the real gold is and how to test to make sure we have the real gold. And we're going to talk about that today. See, today John's going to warn us about spiritual false gods, the fool's gold of religion. He begins in verse 1 by saying, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." Now, throughout this letter, John reminds us of the powerful work of the Holy Spirit that is in the redeemed. Now, John now brings us warning of false teachers and what they're going to try to teach. And when we started with the Gospel of John, and John was the last one to write his gospel. And I've said this, and I'm going to remind you the reason why John wrote his gospel. Because the Gnostics were coming in and trying to tell people that Jesus wasn't really a person, that he was a spirit. And because he was a spirit, he couldn't die. So therefore, Jesus didn't die. They believed that flesh is inherently evil. And so Jesus couldn't have flesh on. So they began to teach a lot of false things, and what was happening, it was beginning to confuse the church. And so John wrote the gospel. Most of you are too young, but some of you will remember when Dan Quayle began to talk about being more and more like President Kennedy. Thank you, John Kennedy. And he began to talk about the similarities. Al Gore stood up and he said, "Sir, I knew John Kennedy. John Kennedy was a friend of mine, and you are no John Kennedy." Well, John's kind of doing that with his gospel and with his epistle, his letter today. See, he knew Jesus. He walked with Jesus. He loved Jesus, and he knew Jesus loved him. And so when people begin to talk bad about Jesus, when they begin to try to dilute his deity, John was the one that stood up and said, "Wait a minute, I walked with Jesus. Jesus was my friend, and what you're preaching is not Jesus." That's why we need to really study the book of John. When people first come to know Christ, I always point them to the Gospel of John. You need to start in the book of John because it solidifies our faith in who Christ is. Well, First John, he's doing the same thing. And he brings us warning of false teachers and what they would teach, because evil spirits are experts at deception. Now remember, last week John told us that those who are Jesus will have this agape love in them. Right? They'll love in a sacrificial way. They'll love in a way that average person can't love. And then he made this point. There's only two families in this world. You are either in the family of God or you're in the family of Satan. Now it's the same way from things that come from the pulpit. It's either the word of God or it's going to be the word of Satan. When anybody, whether who are trying to teach something that's contrary to the word, maybe they want the attention, maybe they want to be God themselves. When they begin to do that, we understand those words aren't from God, but those words are from Lucifer himself. And John's telling us that these Gnostics, these false teachers that have come into church in that day, and the false teachers that are coming into church today, are possessed. They are speaking from evil spirits. That sounds harsh. But we have got to get to the point as followers of Christ to recognize that not everybody who says they're a Christian are Christian. Not everybody who says they know Jesus really knows Jesus. So you're either a child of God or you're not. There's no middle ground in this walk, in this thing we call life. Here it's a spiritual battle. And you either belong to Jesus or you don't. And you could be a good person. You could be one of those people that that give. This time of year, you'll be putting all kinds of money in those little red kettles, and you feel good about yourself. But understand, works do not get us into heaven. Being a good person does not get us into heaven. Only through the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, when we come to the conclusion that we are lost, we are broken, and we are going to hell, then we will cry out and ask Christ to forgive us of our sins. We will submit ourselves to His Lordship. We will repent and follow Him. That's salvation. Anything outside of that is fool's gold. So we are called, anytime that someone says, "Thus saith the Lord," we are called to carefully examine every spiritual message that we encounter. Now, 1 Thessalonians 5, 21 and 22 says, "But examine everything carefully, hold fast to that which is good, and abstain from every form of evil." Now the phrase, when John says, "Do not believe every spirit," that phrase, "do not believe," could also be translated to "stop believing." See, John understood that those false teachers, and listen, they don't have to be behind the pulpit. They could be sitting in the pew next to you. They could be your Sunday school teacher. They could even be a deacon. They can sneak in. The Bible says as they come in as in sheep's clothing, but underneath they're a ravenous wolf. And so we don't want to think ill of anybody. We don't want to think bad of somebody. We want to think everybody's like us. And so we begin to form friendships. We begin to listen to what they say. They'll sit in Bible study with us. They'll sit in our life group with us. And they'll begin to talk, and you'll think, man, that's pretty good stuff. Here's the problem. Sometimes it's not good stuff. But those who have the Spirit of the living God dwelling in us, we should know the true gold from the false gold. And we have to test that. That's what John's telling us. Don't believe every spirit that you hear. Don't believe every teaching that you hear. Don't believe everything that the preacher says from behind his pulpit. Know for yourself what is being said is true according to this. See, this is all we have. I don't care about somebody's opinion. You see, I don't care about somebody's thoughts. What I want to know is, what does the Holy God have to say? And by golly, that's what I'm going to go by. John says we all have to be like that. And see, he says, so test them. The word test refers to a metallurgist assessing the value of metals. Like I said, as followers of Christ, we evaluate through the lens of God's Word. See, when you know God's Word, I mean, when you really know it, when the false tries to come in, you are able to say, that's not right. That is not right. It could be taken out of context. It could be something else just totally crazy, but you will know that it's not right. Years ago, our kids, we went to New Jersey on our World Changers trip. For those of you who may not be familiar with World Changers, that's when we take our teenagers to a different city, different state, and they work on homes of low income and poverty level people that can't afford to do stuff. So the materials are donated, we throw our teenagers in there with adult leadership, and they do some really awesome stuff. They also have services afterward. They have devotions at lunchtime. It's just a really great time of challenging them, helping them to minister to others, and then be ministered in the evening. And what they do is when your youth group gets there, they will divide you up to work with other kids on your cruise. Now, in the evening, you would come together and worship together. But during the day, you'll be put on different crews. That way, you build friendships with other Christians throughout the country. Here's the problem. On that World Changers trip in New Jersey, our kids were working with a crew, and some began to tell our kids that there were more than two genders. They began to spew stuff that is not of God. And here, those of us who went, Craig was on that trip, me and Melissa was on that trip, I think, were you on the trip too, that one? There were several of us. And the kids began to tell us about this. Now, as you can imagine, the hackles on the back of my neck began to rise, and I'm thinking, who do I have to knock out? But here's what our students said. They said, when they began to say this stuff, our response was, show me that in the Bible. And when they weren't able to do it, then our students were able to say, then we don't want to hear it. Shut them down. And I thought, man, when these kids get out on their own, I feel sorry for lost people. I feel sorry for the false teachers because they're not going to cut them any slack, which we shouldn't. So the call is to determine if what we hear originates from the Spirit of God or from demons. And what comes from demons brings no hope. In fact, it only brings destruction. So we have to be careful about what we listen to. John tells us there are many false prophets that have gone out into the world. And what we need to remember is that the devil just doesn't want to oppose the church. He wants to deceive her. Because a church that is deceived is a powerless church. It's a church that will not make a difference in the community. 2 Corinthians 11:13-15 says, "For such men are false apostles, deceitful workers, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. No wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Therefore, it is not surprising if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, whose end will be according to their deeds." See, Paul doesn't contradict John. He supports John. He's like, yeah, there are many false prophets. And they're teaching horrible things that bring destruction. And he says, even Satan will come as an angel of light. And you think, well, how does he do that? Well, let's go all the way back to the book of Genesis in the Garden of Eden. Satan comes to Eve and says, did God really say? See, that's the devil's, that's his ace in the hat, right? That's what he always goes to. Well, does the Bible really say that? Did God really say? And Eve said, no, we're not supposed to taste of that fruit. In fact, we're not supposed to even touch it, which is not what God said. He didn't say anything about touching. So right off the bat, Eve didn't have what God said, right? And the devil used that and convinced her. He said, listen, you know, the only reason God doesn't want you to eat from that is because you'll be like him. And he doesn't want you to be like him. You'll know good from bad. You'll be enlightened. You'll be smarter. You'll be greater. And so Eve did what a lot of humans do today. She partook and found herself out of God's will, out of his presence, and separated from him. So we've got to be careful of what man tells us, what Satan tells us. He's always tried to make his lies seem as truth. And understand, it's hardly ever the obvious attack that defeats the church. I mean, if somebody was to come in here today and go, you know what? Jesus didn't really exist. We'd be all like, you know, get out before we throw you out. We know that one. The devil doesn't attack that way. The devil attacks in the very subtle voice of, did God really say? Do you really have to give your life to Jesus? I mean, can't you just go to church? I mean, that should be good enough, right? I mean, can't you just give some money those Sunday mornings? I mean, God would appreciate that. He'll look at you and think that's all right. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, all who call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. That is, we have to recognize that we're lost, we're sinners, and we're in need of forgiveness. And until we get to that point, there is no salvation. You can give all the money in the world in the plates. And if you want to do that today, I'm good with it. Okay? I'll be fine with that. But understand, that's not going to get you to heaven. It's the subtle things. It's the little twists that the devil does. 2 Peter 2:1 says, but false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will also be false teachers among you, who will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves. We're coming to the point in John's letter where he went from, here's the test of if we're in Christ and how we love one another, to, hey, you got to be careful. There's going to be false teachers out there. Verse 2 and 3 goes on to say, by this, you know the Spirit of God. Okay, so here's the test, right? You want to know if someone is on the right track. If you want to know if you're on the right track, John tells us how. He says, by this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. Okay? So anybody that says, yes, God came in the flesh and dwelt among us. He's the one that died for us. He's the one that rose again for us. And through his blood, there's repentance of sin. If they teach that, if they're speaking that, you can go, okay, they got that right. We can work with that. But John goes on to say, and every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. That is the spirit of Antichrist, of which you have heard that it is coming, and now it is already in the world. So I think the question that we have to ask anybody that wants to be a member of this church, who wants to teach, who wants to be a deacon, who wants to be any part of the ministry of this church, the question they have to answer is, who is Jesus to you? Because if they get that wrong, they're not saved and have no business operating in any ministry of the church. Because we have to get that right. John says if they don't get that right, they have the spirit of Antichrist. And you think, man, that's pretty harsh. I didn't say it. The Holy Spirit said it through John. I tell you all the time, I'm not CNN. I don't make the news. I just report it. So we'll know the Spirit of God dwells upon a person if they can claim that Jesus Christ is God in human flesh, died on a cross, rose on the third day, and is coming back to receive his church to himself. The term to confess means to say the same thing. We're all going to say the same thing. There must be an agreement about who Jesus really is. This is what makes the Gospel of John so extremely important. He made sure to make the deity of Christ the focus. In fact, to be saved, one must acknowledge Jesus as Lord, not just Lord over the world, but a personal Lordship. Many will say, oh yeah, well, he is Lord. Okay, great, but is he your Lord? Do you bow your knee to Jesus? I have found there have been many, especially men, that struggle, especially if you're an alpha male. Now, there's a lot of betas. They don't have any problem bowing their knees to pretty much anyone. But alphas struggle with that. And so when you tell an alpha male, hey, listen, you got to bend your knee to Jesus and he's got to be ruler over your life, they got to struggle. They'll struggle with that. But here's the truth. They have to do that if they want salvation. There's no other way to be saved unless you do that. John makes that very clear, not only in his gospel, but also in his epistle. So the understanding and acceptance of who Jesus is proof of the legitimacy of one's profession of faith. Luke 10:16. Jesus said this, "The one who listens to you listens to me, and the one who rejects you rejects me, and he who rejects me rejects the one who sent me." So when I stand up here, are you witness to someone? If you tell somebody about Jesus and you are doing it according to the scriptures, it's as it is the Holy Spirit speaking through you. It is as if Christ is speaking those words. And when somebody doesn't want to listen, they're not turning against you. They're not ignoring you. They're ignoring Jesus. And Jesus said, if they're ignoring me, then they're ignoring God. Now, that's a pretty powerful statement. Now, on the flip side, John says, any spirit, any religion or philosophy that does not nor will not confess Jesus as God has the spirit of Antichrist. The church has been taught and is still being taught that the person of Antichrist is coming. Okay? There is this one that will rise up to deceive the whole world. The Antichrist. But that's not who John's talking about here. John's talking about the spirit of that Antichrist, of deception, of denying Christ, of denying salvation. That spirit is already here. Now, don't judge me. I saw this on a video, so I didn't watch the show. But it was on Oprah, and they were having a sit-down with a bunch of women. I don't exactly remember the whole conversation, but Oprah made the mistake of saying that Jesus isn't the only way to salvation. She made the statement that Jesus isn't God. And there were two or three women that rose up and they said, "Who do you think you are to say that?" And I was like, "Ooh, yeah, go get her." But on the flip side, you have preachers like Joel Osteen, who is on Larry King's show and is asked the question, "Is Jesus the only way?" And he begins to hum around. Well, Larry, you know, there's a lot of good people out there. And I'm like, dude, it's a yes or no question. There doesn't need to be explanation. Yes, Jesus is the only way. Period. That's it. Well, I don't like that. I don't care. I don't make the rules. God sent his son, his only begotten son, to die on the cross for our sins. When did the creature have the right to challenge the creator? I don't know why God doesn't strike people dead that deny Jesus. Like, I hope you had your one chance. Done. But he doesn't. Because he's a merciful, loving, compassionate God. Just be thankful I'm not God. And so for those of us who really know Jesus as Lord and God, and we speak of him and his works of redemption, prove that we have the Spirit of the living God dwelling in us, the Spirit of truth. So that's your test. Can you say that this morning? Can you say that Jesus is the Christ? He is God in flesh, dwelt among us for 33 years, died on the cross, rose again, and is coming again, and only through him is salvation. Can you say that this morning? Because that's the test. We go on, verse 4 and 5. You are from God, little children, and have overcome them. This is one of the greatest lines in all of this text. Are you ready? Because greater is he who is in you than he that is in the world. Drop mic, I'm done. They are from the world, therefore they speak as from the world, and the world listens to them. Now that's important for us to understand and grab. See, verse 4 affirms our security against false teachers. That once you're in Christ, once you are solidified in your salvation and know who you know that you know who Jesus is, no deception from the enemy can take you out of God's saving hands. They're not going to trick you. We're going to be protected from false teachers because the follower of Christ has the love for the truth of the gospel. 1 Corinthians 2, 12-16. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God, which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually appraised. Excuse me. But he who is spiritual appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he will instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. That's awesome news. And so we come to church to hear his word. We go to life groups to have in-depth study. We testify and we witness to people that we work with, we go to school with, that we just come in contact with, because you and I know the truth. And because we know the truth, we have been given authority to speak it. Now the people of the world don't have that truth. And when they hear us, we go, I just don't understand why they won't accept Christ. Well, because what we say is foolishness to them. We do that study, and Sharon does a great job of teaching share Jesus without fear. And one of the main takeaways of that study, of that strategy, is if the Holy Spirit is not working on somebody, you can be Billy Graham. They're not coming to Christ. See, the Holy Spirit has to be working on them. He has to be pulling them. Then that opens the door. So don't be offended when people look at you like you've got a third eye growing in the middle of your forehead. Don't be offended if they're like, well, I don't believe that. Okay. It's nothing that you said. It's their heart is not ready. And that's a scary place for them. You see, because John says the Spirit of God is greater and he is in us and he's stronger than the spirit of the world. That's awesome. Now, in the church, we may disagree about secondary matters in Scripture. We may look at a Scripture and go, I'm not sure I subscribe to it that way. But the true Christian will always, always, always agree on the truth of the gospel. We will not be fooled by false teachers that try to strip away the deity of Christ. In verse 5, John tells us that false teachers will speak as from the world because they are of the world, and the world will listen to them. They're going to say things that appeal to lost people. People will flock to churches with false prosperity theology. They will flock to churches that will stand upon the same moral ground that man stands on. They will flock to churches that do not teach about sin, repentance, or hell. The world will flock to churches that speak of stories, philosophy, and social justices. But not so for the redeemed. We will not be tricked. We will not be misled, because the Spirit of the living God dwells in us. And when that garbage starts being taught to us, we know that that is false teaching, that is antichrist, and we will walk away from it proudly. Why? Because we have overcome the world. See, when you accept Christ as your Savior, you overcome the world. The world has no longer a hold on us. Lastly, verse 6. We are from God. He who knows God listens to us, and he who is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. We, John is speaking of, refers to himself and other writers of the Scriptures, those apostles, those who knew Jesus, and those who know his teachings. And those who knew God will listen to them. But those who are not from God, of course, they're not going to listen to their teaching. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says, all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. See, it is by this standard and with the help of the Holy Spirit that believers will know the difference between the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. In the world in which we live, we must always be diligent about the false teaching that will try to infiltrate our church at many different levels. We must be faithful in guarding the truth to protect the purity of the truth. And not just today, and not just for us, but for a generation yet to be created. Because if Old Town Hill succumbs to false teaching, if Old Town Hill succumbs to the lies of the world, then what happens to our children? What happens to our grandchildren? Somebody has to stand up for the truth so that a generation yet created will really hear about the true Jesus Christ.